052 Various Testimonies, 29th of July 2012.
Praise his name. Hallelujah. I'd like to start by reading Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent, and that is, or from proud thoughts. Yes. I think that's more relevant to us, isn't it, than thinking what insolent, our interpretation, I think, of insolent maybe isn't quite. I think it's more appropriate, the words proud thoughts. Do not let them have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand up and say that last verse together, whatever wording you've got before you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Praise God. Has anybody got something they want to thank God for this afternoon? I'm sure we all should, even if it's just to thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for looking after me each day.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for keeping your hand on me and my family. Amen. Amen. Who's next?
I've had a terrible week. I've tried to do things in my strength, not the Lord's. By doing that, I have messed up and I've failed. And by failing, I have hurt people who are dear to me, and I don't like that. But the Lord can break down strongholds. Because I've messed up, it doesn't mean I'm a mess.
No.
Because I've failed, it doesn't mean that I'm a failure.
No.
It teaches me lessons, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So next week is going to be better. Thank you.
I'd like to say thank you to everybody for your prayers. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Thank you, the Lord, I've got some good results from my blood test. My kidneys have improved by 50. My liver is a little abnormal, but due to circumstances, that's what they put. Can be expected, but was what the blood bank at the bottom of the results, due to what I've been through. And other tests are a lot better, so it's working, whatever we're doing, and whatever we're... There is improvement, so I want to say thank you for your prayers, and thank you, Jesus, for being with us. Amen. Amen.
I was going to do this every week, make a habit of it, but I'm not going to do that. I've been listening to some of the renditions that I've made over the last few weeks, and some of them are put together on a Sunday morning just before I come here, and it seems like they're just thrown together without now any correlation between items of it, and it's pretty meaningless, some of the stuff, the gobbledygook and one thing and another. And the church, this church, as well as any other, is one body in Christ, made up of several members. Yes. And each member has its own function, like the human body does. I mean, the eye doesn't do what the knee does, the elbow won't do what the finger does, etc., etc. So the church has members who are good at doing certain things and members who are not so good. And I think what we should be doing is finding out what we are good at. I think it says somewhere in the Bible, I can't remember where the text is, but you should stick to what you are good at, and don't try to be somebody else. Don't say, I wish I could do what he does, I wish I was him, because God has ordained you to do what you do and what you're best at. So find out what I'm good at and focus on that, I think. But rather than coming out here as a habit, I'm going to come out here occasionally when God puts something on my heart and tells me to do something. I've got something this week, and it's about these SD cards again. You know, I don't want to bore you with it, but it comes at me a lot. Your mind is the devil's playground. It's his haven. He loves it. And if he can use it as a battleground, fair enough, he loves it. When your mind is wandering, he loves it even more. So quite often when you can be reading something, reading a book, reading a Bible, your eyes are going over the words, your mind is planning tomorrow's dinner. Or you're on holiday, or you're in Sheffield, or you're in London, or you're thinking, well, we had chips last night. And then when you've done all that, you come back to where you were, and you're reading something. You were reading up here then, but now you're reading down here. When you go back to the last thing you remember and start reading that bit again, you think, this is the first time I've ever read this. I've not seen it. And it can happen when you're talking on a one-to-one basis to somebody as well. You can appear to look them in the eye, and it can appear as if you're focusing and concentrating, but you're not. You're somewhere else. You're not even in this country. And that goes on in church as well. When we're sermonising, you can float away to another planet. Yeah. And then you come back. And then you come back. I mean, later this afternoon, Dharma will be preaching to us. He might be here for an hour. And if we were to gather in there 2 weeks from now and all write down everything that we each remember about Dharma's message today, and then condense it and put it, and then type it all out, what everybody's written, I bet you could read the whole lot in 10 minutes, because some of it will have gone. And that's why the devil does not like this. This device can hold 200 hours of audio footage. If you were to put that on audio tapes, you would need 200 or maybe 150 of them, which would cost you 150 quid. It costs £4. What a breakthrough this is. So for £4, and you can get all that on here. I wonder how many people who bought those radios are using them less now than when they first got them. They've probably gone through a lot of these, and then they press that forward button, go on to the next one, think, oh, I've heard that one before, go on to the next one, oh, I've heard that one, oh, I've heard that one, time and time again. You have not heard it time and time again, because every time you hear it, you might have heard it 10 times, but every time you hear it, you'll hear something new in it again. So I urge you, don't get tired, don't get bored, don't let the novelty of this wear off, because this is attacking the devil, and it's doing God's work. It really is doing God's work. It's not just me saying this. I've read this week in a book. It's about the mind. We need to hear it over and over again, because every time you will hear something new. So I urge you, don't get tired, and let's keep updating them with new messages. I mean, how many remembers much about Andrew's speech last Sunday, or what we discussed in the old Wednesday night? We need to keep repeating it. Okay. God bless you all.
Well, I feel like Bill a bit, really. That, well, you know, that he said he's going to do what he can do. Well, I'm no good at coming up and preaching or standing up and saying a prayer when they say, pray for people. I just feel as if I can't do it, and I'm thinking, well, I ought to be practicing at home so I can do that, you know, which I think I should be doing that. But all I do is come with my pieces of paper and read these readings. So here I am doing it again. Life's pathway. At times, life's pathway seems filled with things that make the going rough, and we wish there were a smoother road, but we feel we've had enough. But if we pause a moment and remember who's in charge, the hills that loom ahead of us no longer seem so large. And every rock before us, when we know we're not alone, becomes not just a stumbling block, but one more stepping stone. You've overcome so many things, and every time you've grown, through sheer determination and the wisdom that you've shown. So as you face your journey, from the moment you begin, know that God will guide you, and you will have the strength to win.
I know that God's interested in the little things, and I know Geraldine phoned me on Thursday night and wanted me to get her some things from Wilkinson's, and she wanted two certain buckets. Anyway, I thought, oh dear, I don't like shopping for other people, because if it's you, you can change your mind. But anyway, I went for them and they hadn't got the certain ones, so I saw one of the girls that I know, Lorraine, so I went down to see her, and I says, as I went to her, I saw these buckets on top shelf. They weren't the colour she wanted, but I thought, well, they're all right, I'll get two of them. Anyway, the boss was with her, and the manager, and she says, scan them, because they're on a sale thing. So she scanned them and see how much they were. Anyway, she scanned them. She's 50 pence each. So I got them. Of course, Geraldine were highly delighted. She won't bother what colour they were. And then another thing, I was gardening yesterday, weeding yesterday afternoon, when I came to see from seeing Roy. And I'd been in my dustbin place to get a cane out for this flower. Never thought about the door. I went out today and thought, oh, my door's undone on there, my bolt out, my padlock. How was that coming? I remembered I'd left it open yesterday. But I thank the Lord everything was safe, all my garden tools, all my garden sprays and everything. So all the small things, we can just leave everything with the Lord. If he looks after the small things, I mean, capable of everything.
I'd just like to thank everybody for praying for me, Uncle Jerry, last week. Yeah, the second lot of chemotherapy, and when he went for his bloods and stuff before he had it, the nurse said, oh, she says, you've not lost any weight and your bloods are all right. Because chemo is like poison to the body, isn't it? So she said she'd give him a gold star. And I said, you know what that is, Uncle Jerry? I says, everybody praying for you. He goes, there, I think you may be right there. But he said, you know, he's had his second lot of treatment, and I rang him up, and he's had no side effects still. So thank you, everybody, for praying for him.
Hallelujah. Bill's right, you know. But for once, Bill, you're right. All right. Did you get it? Yeah, so, yeah, well, I was being polite, you see. So, for once, Bill's right. No. Bill's right in what he said. But don't let that stop you coming up. Right? And you've just put a platform for me to say something that needs to be said to encourage you all, actually. You might say, well, it's easy for you, Andrew. Getting up and preaching. No, it didn't used to be. Used to have butterflies as big as elephants. Used to visit toilet. every few minutes before I was getting up to preach and getting ready, I was bag of nerves, you know, just, oh, do I have to do this? Yeah, I did have to do it. It's part of the learning curve, it's part of the preparation. And you might think, well, so it's so easy for you now. No, it's not easy for me now still. I have to still wait on God, read the Word, spend time in it, and prepare it. Well, I prepare, but then again, like last week, it was a case of God said, now we're not doing that. But I had been preparing. Let me give you a little key that I tend to use when I'm preparing to minister the Word. And I might have the message, I might have it early, and I might have done some preparation work on it and got a few things together. But one of the things that I do is that if I awake in the early hours of the morning, I start rehearsing it. And I start preaching it. And usually by the time I get here, I've probably preached it to myself a few times. It's apart from last week, but possibly under normal circumstances, or at least I've had a chance to rehearse some of it to myself, and I've preached it to myself, and I've preached it more than once. And if I'm studying and I'm preparing and I get to a point where I just don't know where to go with it, then I'll go back to the beginning and I'll just begin to, in my own mind, begin to preach it to myself. And as you begin to preach it to yourself, you're practicing it, you're rehearsing it, you're getting ready. And as I rehearse it, then suddenly the Holy Spirit might bring another fresh thought that takes me on to another step and a further direction that he wants me to go. So then I can add that too. But I rehearse it. It's not the first time that when I've got something ready in notes and that, I rehearse it. It doesn't come out the same way every time. That's a certainty, because otherwise that will be just reading from a book. But I rehearse the thing so that the thing begins to be alive in my spirit and it's quickened, and my spirit takes it on board and my mind begins to take it in. And so I rehearse these things so that even the time when, well, I've ministered this year quite a lot on the love of God. And when we went out to Strasbourg, I went out and ministered on the love of God, because that was what we were asked to do. And it wasn't the same as what I preached here. But I was rehearsing the structure, if you want, of what I felt I wanted to say, so that then the Holy Spirit can then take hold of various thoughts and various seeds that are sown within your spirit and within your mind, and can then begin to use them. And so it's about rehearsing. It's practice, 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 and more practice, isn't it, Bill, when you play the piano? It's practice, 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 and more practice. And that's the way you can begin then to feel more confident. Obviously, when you're at home and you're rehearsing it, like you say, you know, need to do it at home. And you're doing it. All right, at home, there might only be you there. But that's okay. God's listening. The angels are listening. The Holy Spirit's there. So you're not actually doing it all on your own. You're actually in a crowd, believe it or not. And you're doing this in a crowd. So that when you get to be in a crowd, it's just now you can see a few more faces, but actually there's a bigger crowd, and it's just a crowd, and you just keep doing it. And you just begin to say, well, the other way of not getting too scared is just say, well, I just want to bring glory to Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about my pride. Because the only time we get really, really nervous in that is when it's, what happens if I make a mistake? I will look a fool. Well, our pride gets in the way. And that's what Satan said. He says, I will exalt my throne above the Most High. I will. I was like, guess what? Forget about yourself. We have a chorus, don't we? Forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship him. And worship is not just about singing songs, but worship is about the way we act and what we say and what we do. That's worship. Even now we worship him when we talk about the Lord Jesus, we exalt him. And so it's practice. If you want to sing a song, it's about practice. If you want to hear if you want the message to stick into your heart and your mind, you need to listen to it again, because what you will find is that the next time around when you listen to it, you hear something different. You say, I didn't hear that last time. Well, I said it. But you have been caught with a thought. Maybe you've been caught with a thought and what I'd been ministering, and you just locked into something. It happens to me. Sometimes I'll listen to people minister, and they'll trigger a thought off in my spirit, and the next thing, and I'm writing some notes down, and I've missed to some degree some of what they've been saying. I've heard it, but it's not actually gone in. And so it's important that we practice, re-listen to it, and just let it build you up, and let it encourage you, and let it cause you to grow. Because in the message that we share each week, there is much food to be had. John Wesley said it takes 15 times for you to remember, really to remember what he's preached to you. And so he said, you know, you can preach a message 15 times. So I only need about 4 messages for the year, and I can keep getting up and preaching them. And by the end of the year, you'll know them. We're always saying, do something new, Lord, aren't we? Did we do what he last told us to do? Did we respond to what he last asked us to do? If we didn't, then what's the point in him doing something new? There's no point. Because we didn't respond to the last time. We didn't build on the last move of God, the last request that God put before us, the last challenge that God placed at our feet to rise up and to be strong, to move forward, to lift our prayer life to another level, to press in, to put him first, whatever the challenge was. We didn't do it. And so by not doing it, God's saying, well, I'm waiting for you to do what I told you to do last time. I remember once being in a church, and the leader of the church said to me at the end of the year, I don't know what I'm going to say to the people at the beginning of this new year that was coming. He said, God hasn't given me anything. And I just looked at him and said, well, did we do what God told us to do this year? And he looked at me and he thought for a moment. He says, no, we haven't done it. I said, so why should we expect him to tell us to do something new for this year if we haven't done what he told us to do last year? We've still yet got to fill this last year. Does that make sense? Don't keep walking around the mountains. Let's do what God tells us to do. Let's get the word into your heart and into your mind. It's the word that sets you free. It's the word that brings deliverance. And thank God we're not failures. God has invested into us, each and every one of us, so that we will be successful in his presence. God has invested in you. And as he is invested in you, he's invested in you that you might share with others, that you might bless others, that you might encourage others. So practice. Just practice it. And then bring it along. Practice it at home. I practice at home all the time. You know, if the devil wakes me up in the early hours, I don't sit there thinking, why am I awake? I just think, okay, right. Think on something to, you know, thought, Lord, what was I thinking about the other day? What was I ministering on? And or the message of seek first the King. Seek ye first the King and his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all these things shall be added unto you. It's great. It's a great verse, that. So deep, we've not yet plumbed the bottom of it. Seek the King. Find the King. Get the relationship with the King that is so deep that when the storms of life, and we will get storms in life, when your doubts, when your fears, when your unbeliefs, start to wash against you. When that thought comes and says, well, see, God's not really interested in you because things aren't going right for you this week, are they? You have to deal with that, don't you? Yeah. You're a failure. You're a waste of space. You have to deal with that. Because it didn't come from God. It did not come from God. For God said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Jesus told the story of the prodigal. We focus so much on the prodigal son returning, we forget that the father was there. The father never changed his attitude towards his son. No matter what the son did, the father never changed his attitude. Did he? And we forget that so often because the ministry, you hear it. You listen to people who will preach on the prodigal and they will talk about the prodigal son. Most of the time, and the emphasis will be on the prodigal son. Yeah, we are the prodigal children. We know that. But we would be lost if it wasn't for the Father. And for the Father's steadfast commitment and love towards the prodigal children. And every time you fluff it, every time you make your mistake, God's there waiting, looking for you. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He says that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they're waiting just for you. He's there embracing you. And it's such a wonderful thing that God is constantly has his eye upon you. The thing he says, I know Bill's had his hair cut, bless him. And God still knows how many hairs you've got on your head. You know, if they pulled any out while they were combing it, etc. You know, God knows these things. What the word he's trying to say to us, God is so interested in the minute details in your personal life. And even if we do mess up, if we repent, that means turning back and turning away from what we've done and coming back towards God. He's there waiting for us. Ready to throw a banquet. Ready to give us a good bath. Put a robe upon us. Put a ring upon our finger to say that we belong to him. We do, we belong to him. But it's keeping him first, making him the centre of our life. And as you say earlier, Bill, when we're reading the word, it happens to all of us, and that's why I often say, read the word out aloud. It helps that mind from drifting. It does. Seriously does. You might think, well, I don't like doing that. I feel foolish. Well, be foolish, but actually be wise. Because God takes the foolish things. That'll preach, won't it? God takes the foolish things. So if you think it's foolish on your own, when there's nobody in the house, to read out aloud, and you think, well, that's foolish. Well, that's okay, because God says, I will take those foolish things and I will confound the wise things. And so when you start thinking it's foolish, just say, okay, God, this seems foolish, but I know you take the foolish things and use them to full effect and change the direction and change circumstances. So read the word out aloud. It stops you wondering. Stops your mind switching on to something else, because not only are you reading, but now you're speaking. And not only are you reading and are you speaking, but now you're actually listening. So now you've got three functions that your mind's having to keep going. And that begins to, you know, keep you awake a little bit more. Because we all do it. We can look at the Bible and we can, what we might term speed read, or just read through without verbalising something. And it's happened to me, and I think, that's not right. And I go back and read it again. That's not right. So I look again and I read it out aloud. And immediately I recognise what's happening. I'm missing something. Just missing a word out or swapping a word over. It suddenly changes it. It's about do those things. They might seem foolish. But God uses the foolish things to confound the wicked, to confound the wise. And he actually brings his word into you and births something anew. So, like I say, practice. Rehearse it. If you're going to bring a reading to church, practice it. Practice reading out aloud. Imagine there's a big crowd of people around you. Raise your voice. Read it with pride, because this word changes circumstances, changes lives, brings healing, changes the destiny, sets up things for the future, and causes miracles to happen. This is what this word, the Holy Scripture, does. We started last week with John chapter 8 and verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's good. You see, this is how personal this is. So what you're doing there, you take that scripture and you say, Andrew shall know the truth. Amen. Who's the truth? Jesus. So here we go. Andrew shall know the truth, Jesus. And the truth, Jesus, shall make Andrew free. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what it is meaning. That's what it is saying. So you can put your name in there. It's going to make me free. Amen. And the devil comes along and says, ah, you see, do you remember what you did last week? Brings out all your failures. Brings up all the negatives. It's not in the Bible. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. See, the devil wants to imprison you. How's he going to do it? He's not going to come along and tie you up with shackles and ropes and chains. No, it's far more subtle than that. It's going to start here in your mind. It's going to work on your mind. That's easier than trying to chain you up physically. Because the moment he begins to take control of your mind, he's got you. He's got you shackled. And so often we can think, I'm no good, I'm not worthy, etc. God will never use me. Well, if you think like that, then you need to get your mind sorted out. And you need to get into the Word, and you need to get into fellowship with other believers that believe the Word of God and will act and be responsible. When you start mixing with people, and Bill can tell you this, because I know sometimes he has to mix with one or two people, and they're so negative. He tells me often about it. They're so negative that by the time you've done listening to them, you're feeling depressed. If you're not careful, you can be like them. You can get caught up with them. And you think to yourself, I need to get into the Word. I need to let the Word set me free. I have come, the Word says, Jesus, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's going to bring you an abundance. You might have had a difficult week this week. But he's still on the throne, isn't he? He's still doing mighty things. And in these difficulties, we grow. These are the challenges that we face. Because if it was all easy and a soft bed, then we wouldn't grow spiritually. And so these challenges are there for you to make us grow, to press on into the things of God. So seek first the kingdom and know his power, know his glory. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. I'm free. How about you? I'm free. And the Word said that he will make us free and give us that freedom. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. and no one comes to the Father but through me. It's all through Jesus. It's not what you do. It's not who I am. It's not how high have I attained to, how big's the church, how big's your congregation, or how many great things have you done. But it's about, do you know him? What is your personal relationship with him? And are you, like in Galatians 5, producing the fruit of the Spirit? Amen. We were talking on Wednesday, weren't we? About being connected to the vine. We're a branch. Yeah. Question is, where are we grafted? Are we grafted into Jesus? Or are we just grafted into our own doctrine? Are we grafted into Jesus, or are we grafted into just a relationship with other people? We have to be grafted into Jesus. Amen. And if we're grafted into Jesus, the life source of Christ will flow through us. And the word tells us that the branches will bear fruit. And the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, etc. As you read Galatians 5:22. Let the word become living. Rehearse it. And as Bill has so kindly done all that work with those little pieces of plastic card with a bit of, I don't know, even know what's in them. And you plug it and you pop it into that radio and you can hear the last, what month are we in now? 7. You can hear the last 7 months of this year and you can hear all of last year. And it's all on one piece, a little bit of plastic. Amen. And your maximum cost for that is £4 for the card and £20 for a radio that takes it. And that's all it is. And what an investment. Amen. And you know, people say, I can't afford that. Well, I tell you what, you can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. You go out and have a splash up on a meal, buy a new pair of shoes. But you can't afford not to buy a radio and a card. You can't afford not to, I'll tell you. It's life-giving, and it will be life-changing, and it will change the lives of others, because you are to be a life-changer. You are here to change somebody else's life.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
You are here to affect somebody else's life.
Yes.
Through your testimony, and as you practice and you rehearse your testimony, and people's lives will be changed. And so rehearse it. Read the word before you. I'm going to bring a reading this week. What are you going to bring? And you find a word and you're going to read it and read it and read it out loud and then bring it. And read it with boldness.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit came to give you power and authority and boldness.
Amen.
Do it under the power of the Holy Spirit. And let the word become living and life-changing, and it will affect the lives of other people that it touches. Bear this in mind. You know, it's on the internet. We don't know how many lives it touches. You don't know where you went this week when you got up here. You could have gone to Romania. You could have gone to China. You could have gone to somewhere. Well, definitely I know there's somewhere in Africa that listens. That's where the word went. You didn't go physically. But the word that you spoke went.
Amen.
Right? Glory to God. All over the world. So we need to speak the word of life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So rehearse it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of your voice. Just do it. And bless the lives of others. And you know, be a radio missionary. Or be a computer missionary. Whatever it happens to be. But be a missionary for Jesus in that sense, and let the word be true, let the word be powerful, and let the word change lives, and let it change your life also and my life for his praise and for his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Bill.
There's a little quote in my Bible and I love it, and it says, Christians are like tea bags. They're not worth much until they've been through some hot water. So if you've been through hot water, then God loves you. And he needs to put us through that hot water. You know, it's like the oil, isn't it? it comes from crushed olives. And the finer it is, the more it's being crushed and put in this, it whizzes round, centrifugal force, isn't it? You whirl in turmoil, but that's when he's refining you and the beauty comes out. And another thing that God tells us to do, even 5 minutes ago, is the past. And God says, forget the former things, consider not the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Even now, it springs forth. So let's look for the new and let's throw the tea bag away and look for what God's got. Amen.
Amen. We're going to break bread together. And then straight after that, we'd invite Dharma to come and minister the word. I'm surprised this afternoon nobody's mentioned about the Olympics. You know, now before you start being cynical about the Olympics, it is actually a tremendous time, I'll tell you, because there are thousands of athletes there who haven't just decided, oh, I think I'll go into Olympics. They've been on that journey for years, building up to qualifying standard and then entering into the Games. And Paul was a man that was very much into athletics, because the pictures that he was putting over to us to encourage us was about running the race, about being prepared. And you know, I'm very much identify with Ray this afternoon. We so often stumble and fall. And you know, if we could follow these athletes on their journey through, you would see a lot of stumbling and falling. Sometimes they're set on one side because of injury. They can't even do their training. But you know, to get up to the standard that they've got to takes a tremendous amount of commitment, dedication and hard work. It doesn't just suddenly happen. And as Christians on our journey, things don't suddenly happen. We sometimes wish we could just manage magic things up, but it doesn't tend to work like that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receive the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And yet sometimes we get up in the morning and we feel that we're winners. We get up that there's one consistent thing about us as people, that we're inconsistent. Because we can get up another morning and think we're losers. And sometimes it might be what we've done in between, but God's not classed us as losers. We class ourselves as losers sometimes, and we kick ourselves, and we're so annoyed with ourselves because we do stupid things and we have stupid attitudes and things go all wrong and haywire. But God's seeing us in the race. God's seeing us in the training ground. I know I'm not at this Olympics, but I've heard one particular swimmer that used to get up at the crack of dawn and going swimming, then go to work, then come back and continue training. You know, it's not as if it was full-time training and that was it. They had to fit everything in. And I know it's easy to become a bit cynical about the Games because it's been publicised a lot for a long time, but you just think about the athletes that are competing. And if we could have the dedication and the self-denial and everything else that goes with what they've done to get where they are. And you know, not everybody that competes in the Games will win a medal. There was a girl that was expected to win possibly a bronze at the swimming, and she came, I don't know, fifth, or she was out of the medals anyway. But a lovely girl, and she, although she was disappointed at not winning, she was just had such a tremendous sense of achievement in what she'd actually got there. She got, you know, and we,
I suppose as a nation we tend to do ourselves down, but individually we often do ourselves down. God is wanting us to run the race. And when we stumble and when we fall, is not giving up, is to get on, get up and get moving and do it again. And if it's a mountain we have to go round again, well, we've got to go round it. Because once we've learnt the lesson, that mountain will be out of the way. But until we learn the lesson, we've got to keep going round the mountain. And you know who's taking us round the mountain? God. He'll show us back to the same place. Might not be exactly the same situation, but it'll be the same principles. He's got to get it into us. One way or another, he's got to get it into us, and we're going to get through that training ground. And I say Paul is a real one for explaining about the race, and he was one with all the battles. You know, you think, oh, these people in the Bible were all fancy and posh and brainy and everything else. Well, he was in the midst of it. He wasn't looking for the end, looking back. He was in the midst of it. And he had battles, personal battles, to battle through. And the only way he kept going was to get up and keep at it. And go on and go on again. He had fallouts with people that were close to him. And really, he could have taken the off on and packed in or whatever, but he didn't. He kept in there, and others as well. So as we come round the table this afternoon, and you know, you might feel you've failed, you might feel you've stumbled, you might feel that you've lost your momentum or whatever. Well, this is a time just to say, God, I'm here. Just as I am, I'm here. And my desire is to go forward in you. My desire is to keep in there, in that battle, in that fight, in that training ground. And when it's, you know, getting up early or whatever, or going out of your way to get the training done, yeah, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it, because I want to finish that race. And I want to stay in the race. As long as I'm racing, I want to be in that race. Amen. So let's come and worship God around the table. Whatever you're in need of this afternoon, spiritually, emotionally, physically, God can meet with you this afternoon as you take this bread, you take the wine. Because you're taking in Him. You're taking in Him into your life, into your spirit, into your body, into every part of you. That's what it's all about. It's not just taking bread. Don't treat it flippantly. When you take this bread, you're taking Jesus. You're taking Jesus into your life. Amen.